Well, good morning, and thanks for tuning in to KRFY. This is The Morning Show, and I'm Susie Prez. Today is March 18th, and I'm really glad to be here today, and I have two interviews lined up for today. First, we'll be talking with Rebecca Little. She's the executive director of the Bonner Homeless Transitions. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you, Susie.
It's an important subject we'll get to, and can't wait to hear all about it. You have some upcoming events, so this will be a great opportunity to hear about an important organization, service organization in our community. My second interview is with station staff members Brian Jacobs, he's the new station manager, and Jack Peterson, program and production manager. The station is hosting its spring membership drive, and we'll get to get a picture of what they have planned for us next week during the membership drive. But first, the National Weather Service. So, we always want to hear about what's going on in the weather. As you heard, if you were listening to the avalanche report from the Idaho Avalanche Center, Panhandle Avalanche Center, it's a high risk for avalanches today. So, if you're going up to the mountains, be aware, check out the avalanche report ahead of time so that you know what you're doing. It's an important thing, but it's high risk for avalanche today. We're also having a hazardous weather condition here in North Idaho. They're saying that we have a flood watch going on, so pay attention to that if you're living or driving in low areas near rivers and lakes. 70% chance of precipitation today, a high of 54. Rain likely, low tonight, 46 chance of rain, and a 50% chance of rain. And then Thursday, 60% chance of precipitation, high of 57, and low Thursday night, 46. There you go with the National Weather Service weather report. So let's just get to our interview here. Rebecca Little, again, executive director from Bonner Homeless Transitions.
Yes, thank you, Susie. I appreciate the opportunity. So,
why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got, it's always nice to know who we're talking with, and how you have, why you got involved and how it works for you.
You bet. So I, as she said, my name's Rebecca Little, and I'm the executive director of Bonner Homeless Transitions. My background is in special education, where I taught transitional life skills for young adults for almost 10 years, like budgeting, cooking, and job readiness. The experience naturally led me to working with individuals who need support to becoming independent. I've always been passionate about helping people move from crisis to stability, and Bonner Homeless Transitions allows me to do that every day in a very tangible way. Bonner Homeless Transitions, we are up to a two-year transitional housing program. Like I said, we do provide housing, but that's not what we are. We're designed to support individuals and families move from homelessness to independence. We primarily serve single women and women with children, and many of the women we work with are recovering from domestic violence, trauma, and substance abuse. Our goal is not just to provide housing, but to end that cycle of homelessness. It seems like it's very generational, by equipping our participants with tools they need for long-term stability.
I was just going to ask, and it seems like that's where the direction you're going. When you say to provide, tools that they need to have stability, I'm imagining that it's very wide-ranged services that they get, not only for their possible substance abuse or trauma, but also how to proceed, how to go forward. So support, maybe getting jobs, making sure the kids, if there's children involved, are fully supported in, how to move forward. So you have places where they can live in the interim until they get permanent housing. How
Yes.
does that work? How does people find you, first of all? And how do you find them, people that fit into the categories that you can serve?
Yes. So great question. We they seem to always find us. They can, if you Google homelessness or transitions, we pop up first in Google. We also work closely with the county jail here and the other, there's another women's transition home. They're not allowed to have their children there, and it's faith-based, which we are non-faith-based. And there's also another men's home that's faith-based. We do serve single men with children as well. We just don't serve single men without children. We also are connected with the state prison, so they'll come to us from there. We work with the caseworkers, and so they will send in an application and we'll contact whoever's on duty and set up an interview.
So it's often you, it sounds like you get referrals.
Yes.
And how do you screen for, so you have these large houses in the south part of Sandpoint, is what I remember from before. Is that still the case?
So we have one large building on the south end of Sandpoint, one on the north end, and then we have 5 acres out in Trestle Creek with 5 homes on it.
Okay, that's what I remember. How do you screen and then maintain, I don't want to use the word security, but you have other folks in the houses, so that when you bring someone new in, that you have a level of security for the current residents?
Yes. So we don't take anyone in that has a violent background or any sexual abuse. So we work closely with probation and parole as well. And we kind of screen them through IDOC and just probation.
So as a curiosity, why don't you take us through an intake?
Yes.
And how they would integrate into the transitional home, and then what's the next step? So how do they first come to you? Possibly this is an example.
So either they would come to my office, or they would call our office number and set up a time to come in, or we receive an email with their application. We give them a call. We really, our only qualifications is you have to be drug and alcohol free, and you have to be willing to get a job within 15 days. We will work with them on that. You know, if you have a mom that's leaving a domestic violence situation and leaves without any documentation, it takes a little bit of time to get birth certificates so they can get childcare and get them into daycare. But during that time, they are volunteering in the community, either with our organization or food bank, or, you know, they're allowed to volunteer wherever. We just don't want them to be stagnant. We will help with childcare until we can get the documentation as well.
It sounds like they may have nothing going for them. However, you slowly integrate the things that they may need. If they have children, it sounds like childcare.
Correct.
So there is state money involved for paying for childcare, healthcare, the kind of the infrastructure they may need at the time?
So Bonner Homeless Transitions is not state or federally funded. We fundraise donors, private foundations, and grant writing. But our clients, they do use Idaho State Medicaid and ICCP, which pays for the daycare through the state.
Okay, that makes sense. Then they would be eligible for the child care, the medical.
Correct.
What if they're not eligible for some reason?
Then we will go to Plan B, C, or D.
Okay, so you really make a commitment to helping when you see that this is a possibility.
Correct.
Once they get to the intake, through the intake process, then what happens?
Then we help them move in. If they're not from our local Sandpoint area, we have gone to pick them up. We've gone as far as Oregon before, and they move in. Every bedroom is fully furnished. No one shares a room. Our north location is communal, so everyone has their own bedroom, but they share bathrooms, a huge kitchen, living rooms, and big, beautiful backyard.
It seems like it's possible that the intake and integration into the community house could be, I'll use the word interesting, a little rough maybe, because they're in trauma at the time, possibly.
Correct.
Who manages that?
Myself as a director, and Natalie Medeiros is also our case manager, so she's very hands-on, and we do have a resident advisor that lives on site at our north location. So our north location is more for our single moms, or we've had some single women that have gone there in the past, and they're more of our fragile, or they just need a little bit extra support. At our south location, we have 4 apartments on the main level. 3 of them are 1 bedroom, and we do have a 2 bedroom. And then upstairs is 5 communal bedrooms for single women. And so we kind of reserve that space for our program participants that are coming from the county jail or from prison down south.
And I'm thinking there could be security questions or needs. How do you manage that?
It's security questions as in?
Well, if a woman was leaving a domestic violence situation.
Oh, I understand. Yes. So confidentiality is huge with our program. So if you were to call and say so-and-so here, we just respond with we can't. We can't really answer that question. We can't.
Residents are anonymous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that is usually enough to keep everyone in a secure
situation. Yeah, it's just like if you were to call the hospital, they can't confirm or deny.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also with our program at North and South, no one is allowed to have visitors. If they're going to be picked up, then they have to go like to the park or down the street. And that's just for everyone's privacy. Our Trestle Creek program, our Trestle Creek location, it's on 5 acres, and that's for our bigger families. And they're a lot more independent.
And those, I think you said 5 or 4 homes in Trestle Creek, that's still temporary housing.
Yes. So everyone can stay with us up to 2 years.
Okay. That's kind of a crucial demarcation.
Yeah.
What kind of statistics do we have about this situation, this need in our community? We use the word homelessness, but people who really need the support to move on to permanent, not just permanent housing, but kind of turning a page in their life.
Yes, that's a great question. You know, housing insecurity, it exists even in our beautiful community of Sandpoint, and I would love a different word than homelessness, but the people that we serve, we call them the invisible or hidden homeless, because they're not what you see on the news or driving down Spokane or Seattle or Portland. They are living in their cars or couch surfing. They're too afraid to leave a domestic violence situation because they don't know where else to turn. So you might be standing beside someone in the grocery line. You might be, you know, going to church with someone, or, you know, out and about. You just don't know who you're standing next to. And so we just really try. I mean, everyone that walks through our door, we treat them with dignity and respect. You never know when the last time they saw a smile or felt like they were seen. And so we really try and make everyone feel seen and heard.
It seems like we'll call our community a rural situation. It seems like the larger towns, as you mentioned, Spokane, they have all kinds of services. Mm-hmm. They have Catholic charities. They have transitional housing. They have all of that. And the homeless folks needing permanent housing, mm-hmm. because that really changes their life. That's like the first step, is what I've heard, mm-hmm. Is so crucial to moving forward. All those services are in those urban areas here. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily very seen, as you said. They may be standing next to you in line at the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And so are there other rural communities that are similar to Sandpoint that have found this kind of service necessary and needed?
I have not found another program that's similar to ours. There are lots of other transitional programs. I think what makes ours stand out or different than others, since we're not state or federally funded, we can just take them in. you know, we had right before Christmas, we took in a family of eight and all we had available was a one bedroom apartment, but we made it work. And, you know, it's better than the alternative, right? Yesterday we, a mom and two kids came in and her one was 13 and one was two. And when we took him into the apartment to show him, it was a mansion to them because they haven't had that stability. Two Christmases ago, we took in a family of six and the kids have never gone to the same school 2 years in a row. So just building that stability for them and, you know, providing that wraparound support, you know, working with parole and probation, working with treatment facilities here in town and holding them accountable as well. And, you know, that's, I don't want to say a struggle, but a lot of them aren't used to being held accountable, but you do it in a loving way. And, you know, we're there to show them a different path and just to be that light for them.
It sounds from what you're saying that there is a definite need. It's not like you have a lot of empty spaces to help people. What do you do if you're full and someone shows up in dire need?
Yes, that's a great question. So what I love about our program is I've only been in the position a little under 3 years. And before I came in, families were only supported that were living in the program, but we've really opened it up to the community. And so if we don't have space for them or they're not ready to be clean and sober, they still can come in every week for case management, which every program participant is required to do. We'll still assign online classes for them to help build those skills. We just really want to walk alongside them and help get them to self-sufficiency. We do utilize St. Vincent's down in Coeur d'Alene. And, you know, if they can't take them, we just keep working until we find something for them.
They say with this subject, this need in every community probably, that the first step is housing. Mm-hmm. Second step is employment. Security first, but employment. So how does it work? Do you help them find employment?
We do. Mm-hmm. So if someone doesn't have any work experience, we give them volunteer hours to kind of build that resume. And then we have connections in town. There's a couple different organizations or stores that will hire pretty much anyone that we send to them and just give them that opportunity. And with that, they know that they need extra support and build those skills.
Does the Goodwill out north of town participate?
We've had two clients work mm-hmm. there.
So someone comes into the program, you mm-hmm. go through the process of intake, they settle in, they may have children, they get child care, kids get settled in school if that's the right age. And then you try to find, well, they find employment, mm-hmm. and they slowly build a foundation of stability. What happens when they're ready to maybe leave the 2 year maximum program?
So after they come to us and we get them in and they have employment, you know, just their basic needs met, which employment is part of it, right? About the 3 month mark is when we start helping them fill out apartment applications, or depending on their background, if they have a felony, you can't move into subsidized housing unless it's either discharged or 7 years old. So then we're having to really think outside the box and find private landlords that would be willing to rent to them.
And where does the finances come from to help them? Because oftentimes you're going to rent something, you need first and mm-hmm. last and security, and it can be thousands of dollars.
Yes.
And rent has gone up in our area.
Oh, most definitely. So we work with them on budgeting. And so part of the program is to start saving. We encourage them even $5 a paycheck. Then after you get used, you know, then 10, then 20. And it does add up. There are programs that help with first and last. But we as our organization, we want to see that they're able to put a little bit of money aside for a nest egg when they move out.
Another thought is for all the good intentions, we'll call it, and someone's working very hard, there's a fall down sometimes. Mm-hmm. How do you manage that? And how do you manage the fact that they are moving either forward or they're stagnant or something mm-hmm. happened?
Yeah, so unfortunately, not every program participant is a success story. We work very hard to learn from everyone that's not, to see how we can better support the next person. And sometimes, you know, substance abuse, it just takes over.
That's a hard one, mm-hmm. I think, for the person and for those that are trying to help them.
Yes.
So what has, and we talked a little bit about your success rate, moving out, moving mm-hmm. forward. What are some of the other statistics that might give a picture? And I'm talking, you know, clients served, also what you might call, you know, success. And yeah, I'm trying to think of the right words, but what are some of the statistics as far as that?
Yeah, so we had a gal that came to us and she was in her 50s. We got her stabilized and she really wanted to go back to college. She had her bachelor's and wanted to work for her master's. And so she went to U of I. And so she will be completing that program next year. So I feel like that's a success story. She has stayed clean and sober. She still comes up and connects with us. My phone and Natalie's phone is always on. and so it's just really neat to see, you know, even a setback or a program participant that doesn't graduate, for a better word, of our program. The ones that do and the success stories, that's what keeps us going.
Okay, so that's a picture of mm-hmm. Bonner Homeless Transitions. It's definitely a transitional two-year program at the most. Mm-hmm. And you've talked about how people come to you, how you manage the situation. Are there ever, what do you do if a family comes to you, a husband and wife mm-hmm. and children? Because that doesn't qualify in your program, unless it's out at Trestle Creek.
Or our four apartments here in town.
Okay. That yes. could be families. I just
yes.
missed that.
Yes.
So all of this takes finance.
Yes, it does.
And nonprofits. And we have a wonderful list of nonprofits, group of nonprofits in our community. KRFY is a nonprofit. We serve our community as an independent community radio station. Mm-hmm. But it takes funding. So how does that work for Bonner Homeless Transitions?
So our funding comes from donors. Our community is so supportive. We also have, I write some grants, and so we get funding from those, just not state or federal grants. And the reason behind not being state or federally funded is then we would have a lot of stipulations. We wouldn't be able to move in a family of eight into a one-bedroom apartment, right? And is it ideal? It's not, but it works. We make it work. And they're always so grateful. And then our fundraisers as well.
Well, that segues into fundraisers in general.
Yes.
What are some of your fundraisers? And then we can talk about an upcoming fundraiser that is vital.
Yes. So we have two fundraisers, our Little Black Dress Cocktails and Conversations, which we can talk more about. That's in April. And then we also do an online fundraiser in December. That's Avenues for Hope. And last year we raised $111,000 for that.
How does that one work? It's online. Is it an auction or?
No, it's just, it's from, I believe it was December 12th through the end of the month. And every day is like a different challenge. So like one day, I think it was to get 12 donors from 12 different states. Or the early bird, I think, is get 10 donors to donate $25.
How do you get the word out about something like that that's strictly online?
Lots of social media.
So you have a website?
We do, BonnerHomelessTransitions.org.
And you must have a lot of connections on those sites, viewers. How else do you, have a newsletter? Do you have...
We do have a newsletter as of October.
Okay.
We're so trying to get up with 2026.
Okay. So how does someone who wants to give, give?
They can call and we can take a payment over the phone. They can go to our website. They can drop off a payment to the office at either location in town.
And do you want to give the addresses to those locations or should they go to the website?
The website is best or to call us.
Okay.
Or you can mail it in too. It's P.O. Box 1696 here in Sandpoint.
1696. And yes. What is your budget for the year? What do you need to, so two fundraisers mm-hmm. and just general donations mm-hmm. over the course of the year. That's
yes.
it.
Yes.
No gigantic yard sales or bake sales.
No. I mean, like last year we did a mattress drive so we could replace all of the mattresses in the program, which I wish we would have done sooner. I didn't realize how old they were. But we got that taken care of. And then we did another... I think it's really important that all kids in our program, every kid can go to school at the beginning of the year with a couple new outfits. And so we did a clothing drive for that.
I'm thinking about your business sponsors, your business donors.
Yes.
When you talk about mattresses, did mm-hmm. the local or even out of the area, but close, did you go to mattress stores, mattress outlet or whatever, and try to get them to donate?
Sandpoint Furniture Clearance Store, Nathan there, he is an amazing person. And yes.
They helped out.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how? What other ways? Our businesses are constantly being asked for yes. everything in the world. Mm-hmm. And what else can they do? What else do they do to help your program?
Volunteer. You can be a mentor, which is huge. Like I said, you know, we're a really small organization. We have over 60 program participants, including children. And Natalie and I are pretty busy. So if we can get a few more mentors that want to come in and walk alongside our program participants as well, that would be wonderful.
Let's talk about that just mm-hmm. for a minute.
You bet.
Mentors.
Yes.
What does that look like and how would someone be able to, you know, join that
yes.
endeavor?
You know, you can call, email. On our website, there's also a quick little volunteer form and then we would contact you and bring you in the office and just share more about our program and what you want to provide, what you're able to provide, your time, skills, what you enjoy, and then we just pair you up with a program participant.
What other kind of volunteers do you need besides mentors?
We always need yard work done.
Yard work. So you could work with the clients or the, what do you call them, clients?
Program participants.
Program participants. Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, so there's a lot of different ways that people can donate and volunteer.
Right, thank you cards. That's another way.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mail out the newsletters.
Yes.
If you do a direct mail. So now let's, in the last little bit of time we have, let's talk about the Little Black Dress event that's coming up April yes. 30th.
Yes. So we're super excited. Bonner Homeless Transitions has had the Little Black Dress Gala for several years. And last year, we decided to switch it up from a gala to cocktails and conversations. The Idaho Club was gracious enough to host us. And there was a group of ladies out at the Idaho Club that wanted to take it on. And it was absolutely beautiful. We're so grateful for them. So the fundraiser this year is, again, at the Idaho Club. And... it's April 30th from 5 to 8, and we're going to have a live auction, a silent auction. Mara Peterson, oh my goodness, I just butchered her name. She is going to do a live painting there, and we also have two other artists there as well that will have their artwork to auction off and donate.
So how does the evening go? It's a gala, you're calling it?
No, it's conversations and cocktails. So okay. We'll have heavy appetizers and desserts and, you know, drinks or Mm-hmm. And so the first hour is like your happy hour where you can mingle and, you know, learn more about us. And it's, you know, fundraising is maybe it's some people's passion, but it's part of the job, right? I look at it at the event more as education. It's interesting to me how so many people don't know much about Bonner Homeless Transitions or thinks that we're a shelter because we're not a shelter. And so I really am looking forward to just educating our guests.
How many folks do you hope to show up?
We can sell 125 tickets, and I believe we've sold right around 40 so far.
Okay. So you have a whole month and plus
yes.
a couple weeks to get that out. How would someone get a ticket to your event on April 30th?
Yes. So you can purchase your ticket on our website at BonnerHomelessTransitions.org, and they are $75 through this month, and next month they're going to go up to 80.
What a deal. So, and it's a lot of the money goes to the organization.
Yes, 100% of it will.
So Idaho Club, this is out at the Idaho Club.
Yes.
So they are also sponsoring this.
Yes, and we're still looking for a couple sponsors. We have Tom Sherry, he's going to be our auctioneer, so we're looking for a sponsor for that.
Oh, you're going to have an auction. You may have mentioned that.
Yes, no, that's okay. Yes, so...
always fun.
Yeah, and a paddle race. You know, it's just going to be a really great time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you all the best on your little black dress thing on April 30th. How would someone get a ticket again? Go to the website?
Yes, BonnerHomelessTransitions.org.
And that's transitions with an S on the end.
Yes.
.org. Although Bonner Homeless Transition, you'd get there.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Rebecca Little, Executive Director of Bonner Homeless Transitions, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about it. Any last words you'd like to say?
I just really appreciate this opportunity, Susie. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're really glad. This is what we do here at KRFY. We give our local nonprofits the opportunity to talk about their organization, which you did quite well. And I learned a lot, so I'm very grateful. By the way, if you didn't get to hear the whole interview, the rest of we will be putting this on our website at krfy.org. Later in the day, you can listen in. And that's about it. We have another interview coming up with Jack Peterson, our production and program manager, and our new station manager, Brian Jacobs. We're going to be talking about some fun things coming up at KRFY. So we're going to listen to a song by Bruno Mars called Count on Me. It's a perfect thing. It's our community is standing here with our fellow community members who may be in need of a little bit of support as they move forward in their lives. I'm going to